Вие сте со SPS на Македонски. Слушнете повеќе прилози на sps.com.au/macedonian. Слушате SPS радио на Македонски, а со вас е Маргарита Василева. Наша гостинка во денешниот подкаст е, според нашите сознанија, единствената стендап комичерка од македонско потекло во Австралија. Елизабет Велински работи во Мелбурн во фирма за инвестиции во имот, а предходно има стекнато работно искуство и во секторот за образование, предавница за фармерки и погребален салон. Ако сте ги гледали комедиите на Мише Автаровски и театарската група Бумеранг, како и хумористичните театарски представи на австралиско-македонската драмска група и двете од Мелбурн, тогаш сте ја виделе Велински на сцената, енергична и целосно посветена на незиниот карактер. Велински се повеќе стана позната и по своите стендап скетчеви на Instagram, YouTube и Facebook. Во последно време, во улога на Liz in the Middle Ages на Instagram, Liz, кратенка за Елизабет, истакнува секојдневни теми од животот, со надеж дека преку хуморот и голема доза на смеење, ќе испрати порака дека животот не треба да биде постојано сериозен на сметка на доброто расположение и благосостојбата. Елизабет силно верува во смеењето и доброто што тоа го носи во животот. Впрочем, незината амбиција е да продолжи да ја смее својата публика, затоа што, како што самата вели, сите сме исти, сите ќе умреме еден ден. Незините спиритуални сваќања и голем оптимизам ја водат Елизабет да еден ден го исполни својот сон да има одморалиште за смеење. Смеење како терапија. SPS на Македонски на мобилен преку интернет и на радио.
Елизабет Велински, добро дојде. Ти си импозната на нашите слушатели како и на пошироката македонска публика. Кога почна твојата кариера на сцената?
My stage career started probably around mid to late 80s with Dorothy Souklis in the Australian Macedonian Drama Group со тој театар. I remained like as one of the main comedy actresses, which is my passion, comedy, making people laugh, freeing people. Знаеш, малце да си бунват, да не мислат на истите проблеми, секој ден што ги мислат, every day, you know, ме разбереш како ставам од креветот, every day, share се, не знам дали го знаеш тоа, it's a fact actually, it can mess up my English and Macedonian.
Да, повели.
Факт е, share се илјади мисли ни идат во умо секој ден и знаеш што, тие се истите every day, како, just, you might as well just press a tape recorder. The same things go over in our head and it's like, You get over that same movie. Истото. So a little bit of comedy can sort of break that up. Малце да се измеша, да не мислиш на тоа. Yeah, I can go further into something else if you want, but I should let you speak because I might take over.
Дали пред овие драмски групи настапуваше на сцената или не?
Mainly, I started off in school on the stage, but then I actually got into television work. I did appear on Neighbours with Kylie Minogue.
Right.
There was a scene there, and there was a couple of scenes with in some other things that I can't even remember. But I think I had a passion for the theatre because when you're on the set, it's just the most, sorry to say this, to you know, movies are great and all that, but it's the most boring thing, and you lose that vitality because you're waiting until you say the same thing. It's kind of like those 60 thoughts, waiting until you repeat the same thing again.
You mean the 60,000 thoughts?
Yeah, exactly. And then I found that when I was on stage, it was just direct energy given to the audience, feeling it back, and that kind of like, you know, led me on that path. But I'm not saying if anyone wants to employ me for a TV part, I'm there. I'm open to it. So yeah, it was in me a long time ago, and way before that, Margarita.
Yes.
I can remember being 5. So you know how I'm a very spiritual person. I believe that you bring into this life what's coming from previous times. And I remember dressing up in my parents' clothing every Saturday night, and I would pretend that I was some old grandmother or some dedo, baba, ki mu tropnef na vratata, ko je, ova je baba Jordanka, you know? And I would go in and have a little scene with them, sakam da kasnam nešto ko imate javenje. So it was just in me to sort of like make people laugh. And
So you actually performed at home in a way, and you used your family members as a bit of an audience, I guess.
Yes, I did. Absolutely, you're right.
They're the true makings of a performer, aren't they? So when did you actually realise that the stage was what you wanted?
It was when I actually went on stage in the Australian Macedonian Drama Group, and I just felt that this is what I want, because I was able to convey my energy and understand. I'd get the feeling back of, yes, I was making an impact on these people. They were laughing. They were feeling good. I didn't have to wait, as in movies, they wait, like, what, 2 years later before there's sort of some feedback. I just needed that instant, you know, to know, yep, I'm doing my job.
That
and I'm getting
audience appreciation.
Their energy and laughter.
Elizabeth, you mentioned that with the Australian Macedonian Drama Group, you were a comedy actress. You were utilised for your abilities. So what does comedy mean to you?
To me, along the way, I at first it was just like, oh, there's something I'm feeling good about feeling these people being stress-free, even if it's just for a little bit. And then I went deeper into it and I realised that, you know what, it's actually just laughing at this always svet, kuku bezveza, yeah, like we take things so seriously, and laughing at yourself and going, how can it be serious? And this part, if I may tell you now, I've incorporated in one of my stand-up comedies, because I've recently been doing stand-up in a few Melbourne pubs. And I actually started off with, you know, you really got to laugh, because really we're all going to die. But look at all, if you really think about it, everybody that, like me, you, everybody around, within 100 years, 99% will be gone, whether it's a new baby born or someone that's in their 50s. It's just a different time span, but we're going to die. So how could you be so serious about something like that? So it's literally just laughing at all the crazy things that we're serious about, laughing at yourself and going, hey, it's not that bad. This is just a fun. It's fun, really. You go for it, but it's fun.
So do you ever use those absurdities in life in your sketches?
Yes. The sketches, the stand-up comedy that I've performed, they're attached to my Facebook and Instagram page, which I can let you know.
Yes.
Liz in the Middle Ages, meaning, you know, I'm middle-aged, but it also has another meaning. So Liz in the Middle Ages.
All right. Yes, yes.
And I talk about all that. I talk about dating, because I'm a single, right, a single woman with kids, and
yes,
dating, the dating scenes, you know, for the above 50s, you know, the things we get into, and, you know, should we get Botox, shouldn't we? And I come up with all these gadgets, and, you know, because I, you know, didn't want to get Botox, so what am I going to do? I'm going to go the other way, and all of a sudden there's all these gadgets on the internet, and when you have a look at it, you'll end up wearing this mask that I look like an alien, and it's supposed to make my wrinkles go away, and this mouth thing that I look like I've injected God knows how much Botox into my lips. It's a plastic mouth, but you chew on it and it makes your jaw firmer.
Yes, I've
and
seen it.
And it's like, wow, look at what I'm doing. This is crazy. And then I thought, I went onto the dating sites and I had a look and I thought, these guys are all confirming that they are perfect, you know, running on the beach. They want to give me romantic dinners and, you know, rubbing cappuccino on our noses when we're drinking a cappuccino and all that romantic stuff. And then I thought, but look at what I do. I bet they must have another side to them, because here's me putting these gadgets on every day. And then it goes on from that to other things and, you know, like coming from the northern suburbs originally and the differences between what's expected of us there and here and, yeah.
And you also tackle menopause, and you've got a sketch titled Menopause Explained.
Yes, that came about when I was like, I've got to do something mainly for women, and not just women, but it's mainly that bracket heading towards 55 and plus, I call it, but it can be 50 plus or whatever.
Right.
What I observed, I was like, from friends and just people that I knew, women of that age are still so passionate and talented, and they've got a lot of drive in them, but they get sort of like, something happens to them with society and what's like, oh no, when you're that age, you should be blah. You should be just having coffees with your local friends and not doing anything else. And, you know, just like, you know, traveling and being very, and you've had your life, but it's beautiful and you've still got a little bit more to go, but you've got to be very conservative. And I went, wow, this is crazy. By talking to them, they weren't like that. They were still fun and doing crazy things, you know?
Yes, yes.
And I said, I've got to do something. And it just occurred to me while I was driving to work, I was like, okay, so, yep, I'm burning up myself. And then I thought, what song could I do? And then it came up with the Burning Up Madonna song, which she brought out when she was in her 20s. And it was related to burning up for a guy.
Mm-hmm.
But now I've related it to burning up from menopause.
Which many of us can relate to.
Yeah, and it's got all of, I mean, it's visual as well. Like I
yes.
I had created the scenes and pretty much directed, but I had help from my daughter, who has her own film company, Handmade Productions. And now the words in itself, they're very Aussie. So I'd love it. I'd give you permission to play it on the radio. Yeah, that's what I did. And I've just released it, and it's going very well. The views are amazing, making people laugh, which is, I want people just to go, oh my God, yeah. You know, like, it's fine. We're all in the same boat, and it's actually fine. We don't have to pretend that we're not what we are, because we're all the same.
Do you think that will help women, putting it in a comical context? Do you think that would add another dimension to being able to deal with menopause?
I actually do, because I have researched laughter as well, and I've actually got a goal to be able to open a laughter retreat one day, believe it or not, because there's all these spiritual retreats, and they're amazing. And, you know, I've been to many, and you go there, but every, you know, it's serious. And I thought, why not a laughter retreat? There has been like studies done like on people that have actually reversed cancer and lots of things through laughter. It just releases the endorphins big time, mm-hmm. and relaxes you. And to your question, definitely, because if you view something with laughter, first it's reality. They look at it and they go, hey, there's someone else like me. And then to be able to laugh at yourself and go, oh my God, that's what I do. You know, I'm nearly peeing my pants when I'm coughing or sneezing, you know what I mean? And you just go, how silly is that, you know? And that in itself, I think, yeah, definitely that was my purpose, to be able to go, hey, this is okay. So hence they relax more and they can be more themselves, and you're never in a happier state when you're yourself.
So how do you envisage this laughter retreat to look, the concept of it? Where would you have it? Where would you position it?
I would have it in, it would have to be like a tropical rainforesty type of place.
Mm-hmm.
It would be amazing food, of course. We wouldn't have alcohol. Maybe on the last day we'd have a big big party with alcohol. That would be great, because otherwise it's very serious. But we'd do all the good, you know, organic foods and things like that. But I'd want everybody to be able to get on stage and just talk about and do a comical thing about their life, and the funniest thing that happened to them, the most embarrassing thing, and be able to express it themselves, not just watch us like entertainers or, you know, the people that would be running the place. That is how I envision it. And they just come out of there just being carefree and being able to have opened up some sort of creativity in them and just go, yep, I feel great. And it could be a regular thing, like a real holiday laughter retreat, not just like a one-off thing.
How often would you observe people being overly serious about their lives and what's happening and what's transpiring?
I can honestly say it's a worry to me. Most of the time, wherever I visit, even my parents, wherever I go, I have a motto. I have to bring some laughter out in those people. It's very, very, a very serious time now. People are taking this so seriously. Not that you shouldn't, like, look at, you know, I'm saying not that you shouldn't not get your vaccines and wear your mask. That's fine. But have fun with it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm already thinking of my next parody, and I'm already going to be incorporating the masks, and it can be funny. Everything can be funny, you know?
Yes, yes.
And you still go along with whatever's happening. Certainly we have times in our lives, like, but that's correct emotion. You know, you will have someone passing away, or, you know, there's something in the family. That's your correct emotion. But when you're feeling that emotion of the death of someone, or someone's become very terminally ill, for something like, oh, my hair's not looking good today, there's something wrong. You know, seriously, there's something wrong. Like, oh, I'm going to die. My hair looks horrible. And they're really, really, you know, it's serious. So that's how I can see that there is a big need for this sort of comedy to come back, because there is a certain type of comedy, you know, where you can sort of put other people down and all that sort of stuff. Mine's more being able to look at yourself and go, oh, wow, and just laugh at your own self, and that's where the relief comes from. And I hope to convey that through, you know, my comedies and my songs.
And what would you say has been your inspiration for this type of comedy?
Are you ready for this? Jerry Lewis. Goldie Hawn.
Yes.
You could probably see that. Yeah.
Yes, so I can see
amazing.
That.
Yep, and even Lucille Ball, she's one of my favourites.
Oh, yes. I had the opportunity to see Jerry Lewis when he came to Australia.
Wow.
It was just so emotional for me, because I had grown up watching his movies and his comedies, and really a great moment.
And what was he like? Like, I'm now going to interview you. What was he like as a person? Did he convey that?
Yes, he did. Everything was there. There was nothing missing. It was just wonderful. And that's why I felt so overwhelmed that it was him, you know, as I remembered him.
And look what he did. Look at the joy he brought to people with just simple things that he did in the movies. When you look at it, it's all things that can happen to us. And you that's why you're laughing. You're going... like I can remember one scene when he has all those babies. He's got to look after those babies. And powder's going everywhere.
Rock-a-bye baby.
And you laugh because you go, that's what I could imagine that happening to me.
Or the ladies' man.
Yeah, exactly. And then he goes into, the ladies' man. Then he'll go into how we act like different characters. But you know what I've found, Margarita? Like, when you're acting like someone else, it's fine as long as you know you're doing it. Like, now I'm being this show pony, or now I'm being this... As long as you know you're doing it, when you lose yourself in it, that's when it becomes serious. For example, I will be imitating Madonna, but I'm not Madonna. I'm still me. So as long as you know, this is fun. Like, when we're children, you go into character play. Now I'm going to be a king. Now I'm going to be a queen. But really, I'm me. That's what works for me.
Leaving your character behind.
Yes. And you don't have to be an actress to leave your character behind. You see it in the streets. Everyone's a character. And, you know, like, it's fine, but know that, you know, that's just a character. Really, you're you. And, you know, you find that people love you more for being you. As soon as you go into this, and you don't feel comfortable around people like that. That's what I noticed. And I thought, no, I've just got to be more me. You're very comfortable around someone that's themselves. If you think about children, they sense that. They have that intuition that we lose as we get older. When they're around people that are themselves, they're comfortable, but they tend to just go away from people that are into that, I'm this person, but it's not really real. It's almost like a fear thing. Even an animal, a dog doesn't like.
They sense it.
Just be real in yourself. It's so beautiful to be yourself.
But I suppose that would take a lot of self-control, what you're saying. You sound as if you have a lot of self-control and awareness to be able to easily move in and out of characters. And perhaps that says a lot about people's characters too, that they're possibly not as aware, not as in control. And perhaps that's
where we have
all the difficulties and the over-seriousness that a lot of people put into their lives.
You said it, the word is awareness. The word is awareness. Because if you're not aware you're playing this character, then how do you know you're playing it? You're in it. You're just thinking. So first you've got to be aware, bring your awareness level up. And I'm hoping that with laughter it can, because you just let everything go and go, that's what's going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's okay to be me, being able to look at yourself. And a lot of awareness can be taken away with seriousness.
Well, Liz, how can people find you?
Okay, so it's Liz, L-I-Z, in the Middle Ages. And I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, and I'm open for anybody who wants to talk, comment, anything. Any ideas? You want to join forces with me?
They'd have to be pretty active, won't they, to keep up with you. You're probably the only Macedonian female stand-up comedian in Australia. And I don't know of any others.
You're right. I didn't even look at it like that. And then to create a parody, whoa.
Mm. Elizabeth, we've heard a lot about your stage work, but what is your day job?
Yes, so my day job is property investment. I've had many jobs. I have worked in a funeral parlour. I have worked in a school. I have worked in a jean shop. But at the moment, it's property investment. And relating to that, the comedy and just the laughter and being yourself, you make it enjoyable. So I talk to people every day, see if they qualify for properties. I love it. I get to know the person. It's not just like a very rote sort of, hi, so what's your banking? Do you have money in the... I make it very fun. And through that, I know that person has come out feeling, hey, yeah, people are nice and life's pretty good.
Well, you're most definitely a people person, which probably explains why you can work in so many different areas.
So true. Even in funerals.
Funeral parlours, yes.
Yep, absolutely.
But I don't see how you can really bring out the humour there as much as you'd like to.
No, you're dead right.
Any other plans or projects in the pipeline at the moment?
Yes, if I may say this, this is going to be done menopausal style and middle-age style, Madonna's sex book.
Right.
It's going to be hilarious. I'm telling you, anyone could look at it. It's a very funny take on offer, right, because it was very serious in those days. And I never even bought it back in the day. And my daughter was saying, I just bought it recently on eBay. She said, what are you doing, Mum? And I said, I've got an idea. And I said, I'm going to make this funny. She goes, I can't believe it. My mum is buying the Madonna sex book now in 2020. And there is another song I'm going to do, another parody, actually, yes, with another performer. You would know Blondie, Debbie Harry.
Yes.
That's another one. And that would be very relatable to problems of constipation.
Oh, I can't wait to see how that's going to turn out.
Yeah.
What are you hoping to achieve in terms of work in the future?
I'm doing what I want to do, and this is going to lead me into the right direction. But what I'm hoping to achieve is probably being able to get as many of these parodies out and then be able to have my own podcast or a webinar thing, just to be able to keep people in the now, in the laughter, be able to have regular people is what I'm more after. I've got so many plans. Oh, I should have brought my book out to read them.
Well, Elizabeth Filinski, it's been a pleasure chatting about your work, and thank you for wanting to inject humour in our lives.
Thank you very much for having me on, and I give you permission to play Burning Up and make these people laugh.
SBS на Македонски. Споделете ги нашите прилози на Facebook. Стиснете, ми се допаѓа, споделете, коментирайте. Следете ја SBS на Македонски на Facebook.